I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Where are your habits taking you? And more importantly, is that where you want to go? Okay? Really, really ask yourself these questions, because these are the same questions that I, like millions of other people, ask myself after reading the wildly best-selling book, Atomic Habits. Who has read this book? Okay, good. Now, then these are all original thoughts. I didn't steal any of them. There's like 30 million copies. It's one of the best-selling books of all time already. It is just incredibly, incredibly profound. And in this book, James Clear makes a pretty airtight case that habits drive identity. And as he puts it plainly in the book, he says, habits are the small decisions that you make and the actions that you perform every day. So your life today is essentially just the sum of your habits, right? And that's true. And so the whole rest of the book is built on one massive implication of that simple truth. Change your habits, change your life. It's that simple. I mean, it adds up. Because if we can consciously control our routine, we can deliberately decide our direction. However, until we do take that control, we stay slaves to the subconscious influence that our current habit already have over our identity, because right now they exist. They're pushing you somewhere. And if you just stop and think about it, just think of how many things that you do every single day just from the force of habit. What's the first thing that you do when you wake up in the morning? Oh, you're all better than me. Coffee, pray. Nope. Check your phone, right? Like the first thing, you wake up, check your phone right before you go to bed. My wife, especially, lock all the doors, double check it because they're all coming to get us. But like, she's like, lock the door, lock the door, lock the door. Me, turn on the TV. Well, I need a snack, right? We eat while we watch TV. Maybe you tap your fingers while you talk. Maybe you hum while you're happy. But whatever it is, these are all automatic actions that we perform without any effort. And yet they all contribute to the kind of life that we live. Because these little habits, these little things that we do automatically, they can increase our anxiety or they can promote patience. They can help express our feelings or they can make us emotionally unavailable. And it's all because habits have the power to define us and the pull to guide us. And so modifying them means modifying us. And so because of all that, for 5 sermons, we are going to unpack these powerful principles of change and apply them to our faith. Because the same strategies that guide our actions can also steer our spirit. And that's what we're here to do. After all, I mean, habits help decide what we do. And if that's true, then they should affect our faith. Because faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. And everything that we do, all the action that we take that does not come from faith is sin. Get it? Like they're 2 parts of the same thing. And since action and faith go hand in hand, we are going to explore how we can use the force of habit to produce the action of faith so that our simple daily routines lead us into God's presence. That's it. The big kahuna, is that what you know? The big whatever, the ball of wax, the thing that you're going for, right? These little routines can lead us into God's presence. And if that big old goal sounds too grand for these little teeny habits, I would like you to consider the answer to this classic question. How do you eat an elephant? Yeah, right? You guys know this one, right? Don't overthink it. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Get it? Right? Okay. I mean, it's a funny metaphor, but it reminds us that even the most impossible ambitions become possible with small, consistent steps, little bite-sized steps. Like the book says, strength isn't about size. Right? In physics, maybe that makes sense, but in friendship, in faith, in life, it is always the small stuff that moves us most. Like Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it'll move. Nothing will be impossible for you, okay? So we're going to take him up on that. Today, we're going to start with a quick look at seven key ideas that'll help us take small steps toward that formidable faith that Jesus is talking about. And as a matter of fact, if you saw back there, we made little cards for you that have these seven key ideas on them. We're going to do that throughout the series. Just stack them up. You can put them in your pocket. Remind yourself every single day. And here's the good news. We're already halfway through the first. See how easy that was? The first point, the first idea, the strength of small, okay? The strength of small. Look, we are calling this series Atomic Faith because we've all seen an atom bomb, right? Like we watched Oppenheimer or one of those documentaries or whatever, you know, or we're old enough to remember it. But we've all seen an atom bomb and we've all been shocked to learn that the biggest power that humans have ever produced came from harnessing the smallest thing that humans have ever seen. It is absolutely astonishing. And that principle of potential also applies to the path of our pursuits, that same idea of impact. Because in life, massive movement comes from minute modification. And so maybe you've heard this one before also. Did you know that if you take a plane in Los Angeles, like at LAX, right, just about to take off, and you adjust its course by 3.5 degrees, right? I think it's something like 3 to 6 feet in reality up there. Just the nose of that plane, a few feet over, it will land in Washington, D.C. instead of New York City. That is a difference of hundreds and hundreds of miles from the little 6 feet that you moved it, even though that adjustment at takeoff was almost imperceptible. You just barely moved it. I'm telling you that because our faith works the exact same way. If we give our spirit a barely noticeable nudge in the right direction today, that change multiplies by the minute to totally reroute our destination. And if you don't believe it, I want to give you another example. Let's say, okay, and I know this is a big leap for some of us, let's say that you pray and read your Bible for a combined total of 5 minutes. You think you'd do that? Does anybody think that they got that? This is where your hand goes up because God's watching. Like if you are, or it stays down and God's watching and you're being honest, you're like 3.5 maybe, but if you can get 5 minutes of average reading your Bible and prayer time in the day, okay? If you can start there with 5 minutes, if you can commit to a measly 1% improvement each day, that means that you will only have to read 3 more seconds tomorrow. Could you do that? And 3 more seconds the next day. But if you just stay on that 1% a day, by the end of 1 year, you would be spending more than 3 hours a day with the Lord. Okay, suddenly it sounds more doable, right? Like that's a big elephant, 3 hours with the Lord, but you can get there. So let us not become weary in doing good. No. Take it slow, right? Take it slow. Don't burn up. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Okay, we know this principle. Remember, slow and steady wins the race, while fast and furious burns you out, right? We know that all too well. Think of it like an ice cube. I love this example as well. Think of it as an ice cube in a cold room. You raise the temperature 1 degree a day, and nothing seems to change, right? You're making this little 1%. It's 1 degree every day, 25 degrees, 26, 27. But then you hit 32, and presto, a puddle appears, right? It just automatically, all of a sudden, it changes because it hit its proper time. Small steps may look like nothing is happening, but they are building to the breakthrough, okay? That's what's going on inside of us. It doesn't necessarily look like it sometimes, but it is getting to that breakthrough. So slow your roll and trust that small steps lead to big leaps of faith. And here is why this is one of, just put this right between your eyes. Don't forget it. Small does not mean insignificant. Small means sustainable. Okay, you can do 1% every day. We have a really low bar. We can do 1%. We can make it sustainable. And faith that is sustainable makes real change attainable. which leads to our second simple idea, the strength of systems, okay? Because systems are the key to making something sustainable. Do you remember the very first time that you ever went on a diet? Are you still on it? Me neither. Nobody is. That was your first swing at it, right? You're like, I want to be in better shape. Here we go. You're not. Why are you not on it? Well, the problem wasn't the goal. The problem was the system, right? Like, you still probably want to be healthier than you are now, but it just didn't take. The system is what lets you down. Because success isn't about having the right intention. It's about having the right approach. Okay? Really, remember that. It's about having the right approach, which is what Paul echoes when he says, be very careful how you live, making the most of every opportunity. We say this all the time, right? Fail to plan to fail, right? Your heart might be in the right place, but without a structure to support it, even the best goal will collapse under pressure. That's just a fact, right? You have to have a plan to sustain it. And as Clear says in his book, and again, remember this, you do not rise to the level of your goals. You fall to the level of your systems. Okay, it's just whatever structure you have built, that's your safety net there. And that means that consistent faith is built on a sustainable system. Okay, we got to have that sustainable system. So if you do want the faith that can move mountains, start by learning how to climb a mountain. Okay, like, you got to be pragmatic about it. And here's a hint on doing that. Your plan has to be plausible. You can't just say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to eat the whole elephant in one bite. No, you won't. That's not realistic. If you expect to scale the summit tomorrow, you're already toast. You know how many people go to Everest every year and be like, I think I could probably do it. And then that's the last we hear. Last journal entry, I think I can do it. Nope. That's it. And if you expect to defeat sin before building the framework for your faith, you've already failed. We have to put that system together. So how do we build a framework for our faith? It's actually really, really easy. You just have to engineer everyday opportunities for faithful habits to be welcomed. You got to make sure they're welcomed. Faithful habits to be welcomed into your existing routine. There's a million ways you can do this, right? Some of us do them right now. Make prayer a prerequisite for every meal. You're not allowed to eat till you say grace. My parents tried that. Something happened. I moved out, I think, and I was like, I'll eat whenever I want. But make it a prerequisite of every meal. Or maybe earn your screen time by reading the scripture first. You know, just attach it there. Or maybe, now this is not necessarily directed at my wife per se, but we could start a swear jar, right? I mean, and that's all of us, right? It's not just her sailor mouth, but it's for any of us who struggle with this. And then you can make yourself pay for pointless profanity. Whatever it is, however you got to do it, just make room to make moments of faith part of the way that you live. Because remember, it's the way that we live that we're talking about. Don't forget, faith isn't the goal. Faith gets us to the goal. Getting back to God is the goal, right? We want to be in His presence. And to get there, faith is the best way that we can choose to live. But if we repeat the daily decisions that our system set us up to choose, then we got to make that faith, right? That's how it works. Set up the system, because we all live by habit. But the righteous live by faith. Which brings us to key three, the who of habit. Because Clear makes a very powerful point in his book. He says, and I love the way this is phrased. These are just things to just reframe the way that you think everything. He says, every action that you take is a vote for the type of person that you wish to become. Okay, really let that sink in. Think about that. This is one of the more convicting things that you'll ever hear, because everything that you do, you'll look at it and see what you're voting for. But every single action that you take is a vote for the type of person that you wish to become. If you wish that you read more books, the goal isn't to read a book. The goal is to become a reader, We have to become a person who reads books. And there's a lot that goes into becoming a faithful follower. But it's actually really easy when we break it down, right? Every single prayer is a vote for being a prayerful person. Every single offering that you put in the basket is a vote for being a giving person. And every time that you open your Bible, you are confirming your Christ-like character by adopting his identity. You're saying, I am someone who listens to God. It's a vote, so just make sure you're voting in the right direction. And that is because being a believer means our identity influences our behavior, not the other way around, right? You can't act your way into being a Christian. No. Like Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Right? The old has gone. The new is here. Present tense. It's happening right now. Because our actions don't define our faith. Our faith defines our actions. We got it backwards a lot of the time. And Paul is trying to pound that point home by telling us to accept our identity now so it can start influencing our actions. So you just got to stop saying, I want to pray more. Like, I want to be that, I want to pray more, and start saying, I am a child of God who talks to their Father. Okay, that's who I am as of right now. Because habits may drive our identity, but if we interrupt to adopt a new identity first, the new habits that naturally follow reinforce that new reality, thanks to key idea number 4, the how of habit. Okay? Because identity flows through a pattern that we can see in what Clear calls the habit loop. Okay? Right here. Again, commit that to memory. Put it wherever you need it to see it every single day. Because remember, this is just how we behave. The habit loop. And it's got 4 parts. Cue, craving, response, and reward. All right? And this pattern isn't just psychological, although it's a psychological concept that we just know is true. It is deeply spiritual. And Paul weighs in on how habits plot our path in this loop. He says, don't you know you are slaves to the one that you obey? Right? Like, that's the reward. You do what the reward is telling you to do in that. Whether slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Okay, in other words, certain things cue us to crave an experience. It's like when you see Dairy Queen on the side. You're driving down, and you see Dairy Queen, and all of a sudden you have a craving. I like ice cream, I remember. I want a peanut butter parfait. And so you crave that experience, right? And then that craving compels us to respond with an action. I'm putting on my turn signal. I'm finding my wallet. We're going to go do this thing so that we can obtain a reward, the peanut butter parfait. Again, I don't know why it's that. It's my wife. I blame it on her, but they are good. Anyway, so that reward, and then you go get the reward. And then when you have that reward, it primes your next cue so that maybe I get in the car and I go, can't wait to see that Dairy Queen sign again because I'm going to do it again. Anyway, it all hinges on whether we see earthly sin or godly obedience as more rewarding, right? We got to make that obedience our Dairy Queen sign. That's the big takeaway. Make the Dairy Queen sign and God the same thing. We got to do that before our habits reroute our destiny, because our identity is shaped most by the loops that we value most. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. We can hack our habits by stacking the ones that we want on the ones that we have, okay? We can do that right. Suppose you see that Dairy Queen sign and you know that means I'm going to pull off and do that. What if Dairy Queen sign meant, okay, you get your peanut butter parfait, but you got to pray first. Maybe you got to pray before you exit and get in there. You'd be like, okay, Lord, thank you so much for everything. Gratitude, it's great and wonderful. All right, now I get my treat. Right? You can do that. You can do that, and it's just a small step that you can make to stack it on a habit you already have. So if you want to exercise more, make it part of your existing snack habit. It's that simple, right? We're simple creatures. It's really not that hard. And to become somebody who faithfully follows God, just use your existing cues that lead to rewards. You know, whatever it is, pray before you put on perfume. When you're like, oh, I'm going to smell so good, be like, all right, Lord, I love you. Thank you for this opportunity to smell so good. Here we go. You know, maybe you put scripture into the morning mix that makes your morning commute more fun. Whatever it is, find a way to fit them in, because all faithful habits come from key number 5, which is the humble beginning. Okay, one of the biggest lies that we often buy as Christians is that if we're not doing something big, it doesn't matter. Right? If I'm not like going on a missions trip to go save the world, or just doing something, giving away every last cent, whatever it is, we just feel like I got to do it all or it's nothing, right? And that is just not true. It is just not true. Everything that is awesome in God's kingdom starts small. All right? It's always got a humble beginning. James Clear tells a great story of a friend who he knows who lost 100 pounds. And so he asked, how do you start? And guess what? He went to the gym every single day for 5 minutes. Okay, that's it. 5 minutes. He literally came in, opened the door, said hello, signed in, walked around, bench press, leg press, see you later. And then he left. He left. That's all he had to do. 5 minutes, walked in there, because he wasn't trying to change his body. He was trying to change his identity. So he just became someone who went to the gym. He got in the car, he got there, put on the shorts, and then left. And that's fine, because it started the process. He became someone who went to the gym, and then the habits just grew naturally from that identity. And so likewise, Clear encourages us to scale all new habits down to less than 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Why? Because as his friend put it, and I love this line, he said, the heaviest weight at the gym is the front door. Amen to that. We all know that one. It is just getting started. That's the hardest part. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. It's the Mary Poppins. Well begun is half done, right? You just got to start. And if we want to become someone who lives by faith, all we have to do is start. The size of the step doesn't matter. We just have to do something. Take one step. Because like David said, God's word is a lamp for my feet, and it's a light on my path. But notice that it is not a floodlight for the whole road, right? It is absolutely not. It's a lamp, just enough light for the next step. That is how God leads. Because when something feels achievable, it feels repeatable. Right? If I just have to focus on that once, I can do one step. I don't know if you light up the whole thing and I see, oh my goodness, what a journey, I will probably quit. But if I can just focus on the step in front of me, then that feels achievable. When it's achievable, it's repeatable. And when it's repeatable, it's transformational. You take those steps one at a time. So fire up your faith with a humble beginning. Start with one verse, guys. I mean, be that. It's like the front door. Just open it up and go, open my Bible, close my Bible. I did it, today. I did one verse, 1 minute, one prayer. But then here's the secret. Do it again tomorrow. Just do it again tomorrow. Eventually, you will just naturally learn to trust today's light to lead into tomorrow's transformation. Don't worry about it. It's going to happen, right? And once we do, we can experience key number 6, the powerful present. Because this is where the magic happens, right? Not in the someday, but in the right now. Yeah, I know. Because change may come from consistency, but the secret to being persistent is being present. In the present, we have to stop chasing future change and start building today's identity. You just got to stop saying, I want to be more spiritual. I'm going to be later on. I got a plan. It's going to happen one day. Stop doing that and just start saying, I'm going to walk with Jesus today. Whatever that looks like. One step. I'm going to today. Not next week. Not after vacation and I get all the stuff out of my system. I'm going to do a bunch of terrible things. But when I come back, I'm going to start and be holy. No. Just do it today. Just today. The way that Jesus said to see things when he said, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Stop putting off faith for the future and just focus on winning one day, today. Talk to God today, right? Practice gratitude today. Find one person and love them well today. That's all you got to do. Don't think about the rest of it. Just do that. And that right there creates one faithful day. And every faithful life starts with a single faithful day. You just got to make it. Simply commit to being a faithful follower for 24 hours. Can you do that? You're allowed to sleep through it if you want. If you're like, I'm just a sinner, I'm going to go to bed and wake up. You made it, right? Like whatever you got to do to make it 24 hours. And then afterward, we'll deal with tomorrow. But just see what you can do today. Because your faith doesn't have to move those mountains today. It just has to move you today. Just one degree, one little lean. Because the power of the present is only expressed through action, which leads us to key number 7, the first bite. Okay, the first bite. Listen, elephants are huge, right? So you might feel, you know, overwhelmed by how far you have to go when you see it and you're like, that's just a lot to eat, right? It's a lot to do. But God isn't asking for huge leaps. He's asking for consistent steps. And the first step is always in the right direction. That's the really great news. You can't mess up. The first one is always correct because it just puts you on a path. And then we'll worry about the rest later, where it's going, how you walk it, but just get on that path. Like Paul says, put on the new self now, which is being renewed, right? And you ever hear that in that scripture? It is kind of a bizarre thing, right? The new you is still being renewed. And that's because a new identity is instant, but a new faith takes formation. Remind yourself, transformation is a process and faith is a system. So don't wait to feel ready. You're never going to be ready. Just start eating your elephant right now. And I have to say, I've been saying this all week and like talking to staff. And I have to say, I was talking to Anna about it. And I was like, you know, yeah, you got to eat your elephant. And then we got into this like, okay, well, you know, you just got to find out how to start it. And I said, so maybe I'm starting with the trunk. And she said, you're starting with the trunk? That's the grossest thing I've ever heard. And I said, you don't think it'd be like calamari rings or something? That would be kind of, she's like, this is the grossest. Don't say that to the congregation. Nobody needs to hear that. And so I said it anyway, but I just couldn't get it out. I'm curious how you would eat your elephant, discuss later. But anyway, all you have to do is start eating your elephant and you will find the system. And as you find the system, you will trust the process. Okay. They go hand in hand. You just begin and let the Lord sort it out. And I got to tell you, this works. And I know I've mentioned this already a few times, but I got to say, I'm telling you this not to brag like I'm doing anything great with my life. I'm not. You know the way that like Paul says, the chief of sinners. I'm the chief of sinners. People, I wrote the New Testament, but I'm no good. I'm Paul. And God can do that with me. Imagine what he could do with you. That's how I feel about this, okay? Because I am like chronically lazy. I am amazing at making up excuses to not do things. That's why I'm telling you this, because the bar is so, if I can do this, guys, then I literally mean any one of you and your great-grandparents could do this if I can do it, okay? But after I read this book, I called the bluff. And I committed to just doing a tiny daily walk to the end of the road and back. That's all I said. I was going, we'll see if that really, you know, how much of the elephant I can eat if I just do this little thing. And 3 months later, and I'm up to 90 minutes on average a day, and I've covered more than 390 miles with 900,000 steps. That's staggering for who I am. No, it really isn't. I mean, I'm telling you, this is again, yeah, no, if God can do that with this slug of a man, I am telling you, he can do anything with you. So here's your challenge, okay? Your challenge this week is simply this. Take a bite, okay? Take one bite. Pick one 2-minute holy habit. No bigger than that. 2-minute holy habit, something, and then attach it to something that is already a cue for you, like seeing a Starbucks or starting your car, brushing your teeth, whatever it is, something that you already have a cue for, and attach this new simple little thing that you want to do to that cue, and then repeat it for 6 days. And then show up here next Sunday for part two, because over 4 more weeks, we are going to outwit all of our obstacles, and we are the obstacles, so we're going to outwit ourselves as we learn to make our faith so obvious and attractive and easy and satisfying that it just goes nuclear. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, then let's pray about it, guys. Father God, we love you and we seek your presence as the rewarding goal of the life that you have given us to live. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you help us to see ourselves as a faithful follower today, to grow the holy habits that transform us tomorrow. And Lord Jesus, we praise you for patiently proving how humble beginnings become atomic power when we just consistently choose to simply follow in your footsteps one day at a time. And to that we all say, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.